Good morning. Bill Lynch with the CBS World News Roundup. Yesterday's Supreme Court decision upholding the right of states to limit women's access to abortion sparked this angry demonstration in Los Angeles. In San Francisco, some marchers knocked over trash cans. In Chicago, others burned American flags, ironically a right recently upheld by the court. In St. Louis, Judith Whittacomb, founder of the clinic involved in the court's 5-4 decision, said abortion will become our Vietnam of the 1990s. And as Susan Spencer reports, the battle now shifts to state legislatures.
The court's ruling issues a generous invitation to the states to pass new laws regulating abortion, laws that pro-choice supporters say could completely deny many women access. Kate Michaelman of the National Abortion Rights Action League.
The Supreme Court said that states can make the right to choose so difficult, so expensive, so burdensome, that it will no longer be a right for all Americans, but a privilege for the few.
But the other side heralded the decision as a triumph for states' rights. William Webster, Attorney General of Missouri.
The court said in no uncertain terms that states are not obligated to enter or remain in the business of funding abortion.
When state legislatures come back into session, an avalanche of bills on abortion is expected. Bills that test just how far the states now can go toward restricting the right to choose. Susan Spencer, CBS News, Washington.
One of the first showdowns will come in Utah, as Derek Marquis reports from affiliate KSL.
Members of the Utah legislature are predicting new laws will be passed as anti-abortion forces begin to act on the Supreme Court's decision. Utah abortion rights activists say they'll stand in the way of those new laws. Utah Right to Lifers say the decision to give states authority to limit a woman's right to abort her child sends a moral message, not only to Utah, but the entire nation. The Utah House Republican leader, Craig Moody, says the House will likely start working on the issue later this month.
We'll spend at least 15-20 minutes on it discussing as to where it's going. Does anybody want to introduce legislation, where it would look to go? But I would very definitely look to see somebody introduce legislation on it.
Moody predicts the legislature will enact every restriction allowed by the high court. Meanwhile, groups supporting and opposing abortions are already lining up to pressure state lawmakers. Derek Marquis for CBS News, Salt Lake City.
In Paris this morning, Soviet President Mikhail Gorbachev got a red carpet airport welcome from President François Mitterrand, his host for the next 3 days. As correspondent Barry Peterson reports, they'll be signing some 20 agreements ranging from joint space programs to youth exchanges.
Gorbachev is here to begin what one newspaper called the seduction of France, to persuade the French and the rest of Europe that he represents a new Soviet Union that just wants to be friends, that has abandoned confrontation in favor of cooperation. It sounds good, but it's hard to pull off in this country. More skeptical of the Soviet leader than the West Germans who mobbed Gorbachev during his visit to their country last month. Still, Gorbachev may well emerge with much of what he wants from this trip, including almost 2 dozen treaties designed to spark French investment in his country's ailing economy. And there is summit symbolism. Gorbachev, who represents a revolution in communist thinking in this day and age, arriving in France on the day America celebrates its revolution. Gorbachev asking the French to make his revolution work, just as more than 200 years ago, Frenchmen such as Lafayette helped the Americans win their struggle. Barry Peterson, CBS News, Paris.
A pilotless Soviet MiG-23 crashed into a farmhouse today in northern Belgium, reportedly killing a young man on the ground. Reports indicate the pilot ejected over Poland and that the fighter, intercepted by U.S. F-15s, continued on autopilot for hundreds of miles until it ran out of fuel and crashed. Belgian officials speculate the MiG may have been escorting Mikhail Gorbachev's jetliner as it headed for Paris. Poland's new parliament was sworn in this morning, the first in the Soviet bloc since the late 40s, with a real opposition to the ruling Communist Party. Bert Quint reports.
The session opened with an exhortation by the temporary speaker for these parliamentarians to cross the lines that divide them and decide together the shape of Poland's economy of the future. The economy is the issue that could mean disaster for the Polish experiment in democracy. In bringing on the conditions of a free market and a free nation, Parliament also will bring new hardships and new dangers. Life here today is difficult, but it is safe. There is little unemployment, little real poverty. That's bound to change with efforts to make Poland a more efficient, competitive country. It's up to the new lawmakers to provide this weary and apathetic nation with a legal framework that gives it an incentive to work harder and a cushion against the shocks of change. If they fail, the Polish people will reject them as they have rejected the communist leadership of the past. Bert Quint, CBS News, Warsaw.
In a videotape released in Hong Kong today, Wu Er-Kai-shi, an escaped leader of China's crushed democracy movement, announced formation of an organization to carry on a nonviolent struggle for freedom in his homeland. Meanwhile, as correspondent David Jackson tells us, the power elite in Beijing is choking off the flow of news from abroad.
China's crackdown and retreat from world opinion moves one step further. Beijing authorities have told the big tourist hotels to shut off their satellite dishes. Dishes that bring in CNN and the American Armed Forces Television Service, which airs the American Network newscasts. Now, foreign shortwave radio broadcasts, such as The Voice of America and the BBC, offer the only competition to the official government version of the truth. They've been jammed in the recent past, but some are still getting through in English and in Chinese. Distribution of newspapers and magazines from Hong Kong has already been restricted. Chinese language publications from outside the country are now quite simply illegal. David Jackson, CBS News, Beijing.
President Bush is celebrating this July 4th at his summer home in Kennebunkport, Maine. He treated the town to a display of fireworks last night with the help of an anonymous donor and a pyrotechnics expert. Several thousand people from across the area packed into town to watch the display. The president has enjoyed an active holiday break, putting in a few rounds of golf, jogging, and swimming. Secretary of State Baker arrived in Tokyo today, praising Japan for helping to bankroll a multinational aid package for the Philippines. Baker told reporters on his plane he would turn a blind eye to the scandal over alleged payments by Japan's Prime Minister Uno to geisha girls for sexual favors. 8 past the hour. As many as 15 expensive homes have been destroyed by brush fires still raging east of Los Angeles. About 100 people spent the night in a high school. Correspondent David Dow has more.
15 miles east of downtown Los Angeles, the flames slice through the brushy hillsides of exclusive Turnbull Canyon. Hour after hour, the fire spread, whipped by erratic winds.
Everything looked like it was real calm, and then all of a sudden it broke out over here, and it just came jumping over there like crazy.
With the fire looming all around them, hundreds fled their homes, some escaping with pets and little else.
I don't want to leave this place.
As the flames spread, the damage toll rose, quickly passing into the millions of dollars, leaving a quiet suburb looking like a charred battle scene. David Dow, CBS News, Los Angeles.
6 children were killed in an early morning house fire in Louisville. The victims apparently had been left alone. The dollar is lower. London gold is up nearly $2.50. 10 past 7.